Okay, so we have been doing the gradual training. I have been trying to compare it to the Noble Eightfold Path. And the idea of sense restraint, that's part of right effort. The effort to overcome the unwholesome and the effort to develop the wholesome. This is part of an important part of the path, obviously. In fact, I think this is maybe one of the most important parts of the path. And I think often the idea of right effort is not talked about enough, because the right effort really involves the working with the mind itself to overcome the unwholesome and to develop wholesome habits instead. So this is obviously very important.
Un tad mēs runājām par šo te maņu savaldīšanu, un tas iekļaust cēlā astoņu posmu ceļa sadaļā par pareizo piepūli, un šķiet, ka par pareizu piepūli nevienmēr tiek runāts pietiekoši daudz, jo tad tā ir tādēļ, kurā mēs darbojamies ar prātu iestādot tajā piemērotu vai veicot pareizu piepūli.
So to be able to overcome the bad states of mind and to develop the good states, you need two things. The first thing you need is you need the motivation. You need a reason why you should do this, right? So you need to be very clear why. That's the first thing. And the second thing you need to do it, you need some kind of skillful means, if you like, a certain ways to help you to overcome these two things. So I'm going to talk a bit about now about the why to overcome these things, to give the motivation, and afterwards also a bit about how to actually overcome these things. So the first sutta I want to... Sorry, go ahead.
Mēs varētu tikt vaļā no tādiem prātas stāvokļiem, kas nenes labumu no mums no citiem. Ir nepieciešams divas lietas. Pirmām kārtām motivācija. Mums ir jāzina, kāpēc mēs to vēlamies darīt. No otrām kārtām mums ir nepieciešama prasmīga līdzekļa, ar kur palīdzību mēs to varam pabeigt.
If I talk too much, please stop me. That's okay. Okay, so the first sutta is the Anguttara Nikaya 2.13. That's the first sutta which comes after the one that we're looking at now.
Un tad pirmā no sutām, ko mēs aplūkosim, būs Anguttara Nikaya 2.13. Tā ir nākošā izstāsts, ko mēs tam aplūkojam.
And this sutta goes as follows. Bhikkhus, there are these two powers, vatuva, the power of reflection and the power of development. Have you got that sutta? Yeah, or you're just listening, that's good, yeah. The power of reflection and the power of development. And what is the power of reflection? Here, someone reflects thus. Bodily misconduct has a bad result in the present life and in the future life. Verbal misconduct has a bad result in the present life and in the future life. Mental misconduct has a bad result in the present life and in the future life. Having reflected thus, he abandons bodily misconduct and develops bodily good conduct. He abandons verbal misconduct and develops verbal good conduct. He abandons mental misconduct and develops mental good conduct. He maintains himself in purity. This is called the power of reflection. And what is the power of development? And I'm not going to read this, but the power of development basically is the four jhanas, the four deep stages of samadhi.
Mūki ir zināmi šie divi spēki. Kādi divi? Pārdomu spēks un attīstības spēks. Un kas ir pārdomu spēks? Kāds pārdomā šādi? Slikta uzvedība caur ķermeni dod sliktus rezultātus šajā dzīvē un nākamajā dzīvē. Slikta uzvedība caur runu dod sliktus rezultātus šajā dzīvē un nākamajā dzīvē. Slikta uzvedība caur prātu dod sliktus rezultātus šajā dzīvē un nākamajā dzīvē. Šādi pārdomājas, viņš atmet sliktu uzvedību caur ķermeni un attīsta labu uzvedību caur ķermeni. Viņš atmet sliktu uzvedību caur runu un attīsta labu uzvedību caur runu. Viņš atmet sliktu uzvedību caur prātu un attīsta labu uzvedību caur prātu. Viņš patur sevi tīrībā, šo sauc par pārdomu spēku. Un kas ir attīstības spēks? Šodien es nelasīšu, bet principā attīstības spēks ietver sevi četras džānas.
So this is quite interesting, because what this means is that the way to overcome unwholesome things, the way to overcome any bad mental states in particular, is all about how we reflect. It's how we think about things. And if we think about things in the right way, if we reflect in the right way, that is how this actually comes about.
Tā ir interesantā lieta, kā mēs varam tikt galā ar šiem neprasmīgajiem, nepiemērotajiem, nelāgajiem prāta stāvokļiem, ir izmantojot pārdomu spēku. Respektīvi, ar pārdomāšanas palīdzību mēs pakāpeniski saprotam, ko tas mums nodara un tiekam no tā vaļā.
And then once you have overcome these negative things through reflecting in the right way, that is when meditation has a possibility. And this is what this development usually means. Development, the Pali word is bhavana. And bhavana, in the narrow sense, means meditation practice.
Un kad mēs esam veikuši šīs pārdomas un esam ielikuši pamatu, tad mēs tālāk varam virzīties ar meditāciju. Un interesantā kārtā tas, kas tiek lietots, tas vārds, kas tiek lietots, attīstība, pārvaldā havana, un ļoti šaurā nozīmē lietojot, tas tieši arī nozīmē meditāciju.
So it is how we reflect that is important, and through reflection, through reflecting in the right way, that is how you guide your mind to the right track. And you will see here that it gives you some indication already. It is very short. It doesn't say much, but it gives us some idea about how that reflection should be. And basically, the reflection is that the results, if you have the defilements, too many defilements in the mind, is going to always lead to bad results. This is essentially what this reflection is about.
Tātad, ja mēs pareizā veidā pārdomājam, tas virza mums tālāk pa ceļu un faktiski šī sūta to arī uzsver, un lai gan tā neiet sevišķi pašumā, tā parāda pamat principu, proti, ka mūsu prāta piesārņojumi ir tie, kas liek mums piedzīvot sliktus rezultātus.
And you can see here also it talks about bad results, not only in this life, but also in future lives. So here comes this idea we started off with right view. Right view being at the beginning of the path. And here, that right view, you can use that right view here to reflect on the long-term consequences of these things.
Un mēs redzam, ka sliktie rezultāti parādās ne tikai šajā dzīvē, bet arī nākošajās dzīvēs. Un te mums ļoti nodara pareizais skatījums, ko mēs varam izmantot šajā pārdomu procesā.
So you here it says that you use this reflection both to act morally in body and also in speech, but now we are focusing mostly on the mind at this stage.
Un te ir teikts, ka mēs varam tādējādi attīstīt tikumību caur ķermeni un runu, bet visvairāk mēs šajā posmā fokusējamies uz prātu.
And you can also see here that this Sutta says that not only do you reflect in this way, you abandon bad conduct, but you also develop the good conduct. As well as I was talking about before, about the morality in Buddhism has two sides, the positive side and the negative side. And they always go together. And you can see that this exactly the same thing is happening here.
Un tad mēs redzam, ka tiek atmesta sliktā rīcība, un kā mēs iepriekš runājām, tikumība neietver tikai šo atbrīvošanos no sliktā, tikumība ietver arī pozitīvā veikšana, un te mēs varam redzēt, ka blakus sliktā atmešanai tiek runāts arī par labās uzvedības attīstīšanu.
So what does it mean that it becomes a power? It's called the power of reflection, right? It becomes a power when that reflection, when you have done it so often, when it has sunk in so deeply, when you really understand that this is a problem, that as soon as you bring it up to the mind, then you can abandon those unwholesome qualities. That's when it is a power, when it's called the power of reflection. It has the ability to abandon those. As it said in the previous sutta we said, it dispels the unwholesome thought, obliterates them, abandons them. That's when it is the power of reflection.
Un kāpēc tas ir pārdomu spēks? Spēks, tas ir tāpēc, ka ar to mēs spējam sevi atbrīvot no negatīvā. Mēs, kā vienā no iepriekšējiem fragmentiem manījām, ka ir iespējams iznīcināt, atbrīvoties no tā negatīvā, ko mēs, kas mums ir liekas.
So, and then when these negative sides, negative aspects have been abandoned, and you have a fairly pure mind state, that is when meditation becomes possible. So you can see here how it is a stage-wise thing. So a lot of the practice that we do at the beginning of the path is actually just a practice to purify yourself, to purify the mind, to abandon the unwholesome things. And then it's like the real meditation can start to happen when you get to that point. So a lot of the things that you do initially is just a purification process.
Un tad mēs varam redzēt, ka faktiski atbrīvošanās no negatīviem prāta stāvokļiem ir tas, kas mums ir jādara šajos pirmajos posmos, savā ziņā, atbrīvošanās posmos, jo ja mēs neesam atbrīvojušies no šī negatīvā, tad mums nav iespējams pavirzīties tālāk meditācijā. Un faktiski šis prakses pirmais posms ieliek to būtisko pamatu, lai meditācija varētu notikt.
Okay, so that is the that gives you some of the background on how to overcome these things. Now I'm going to read out something. I have one of these Kindles with me. It's very handy because you have all the suttas in Pali and English and everything. It's very, very good. Huh? So you don't have to carry a big library around with you. It's quite handy. Huh?
Es tagad atradīšu nosīšu vienu lietu no teksta, kas man ir digitālā formātā līdz. Un tāds digitālais grāmatas lasītājs ir, es noteikti parocīšu jau no līdzjā mazā veselu bibliotēku.
Okay, so this is, I said that there's two things that you need to do. You need to have the motivation to overcome the unwholesome states, and you need to have the means, you know, the how to do it. So what I'm going to do now is read a small text. This is from another sutta, which I haven't actually included here, and this is about how to get the motivation to abandon these things.
And šis ir fragments no citas sutas, ko es šeit neesmu iekļāvis, un kā es iepriekš minēju, ir nepieciešams divas lietas – motivācija un prasmīga līdzekļa, lai mēs varētu atbrīvot sev no liekajām negatīvitātēm. Un te es nolasīšu fragmentu, kas attiecas tieši uz to, kā radīt motivāciju.
So this is a sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. It's called the Two Kinds of Thoughts Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya number 19.
Un tā ir sutta no Majjhima Nikājas, sutta numur 19, un saucās par divu veidu domām.
And here the Buddha talks about his own practice before his awakening. And what he says is that as he was practicing before his awakening, he divided his thinking into two parts. The wholesome kind of thoughts about metta, compassion and renunciation. And on the other hand, the unwholesome thinking, you know, sensual desire, cruelty and ill will.
Un te Buddha runā par to laiku, pirms savas apskaidrības sasniegšanas un pirms viņš sasniedz savu apskaidrību, viņš iedalīja savus domu procesus divās kategorijās. Viens bija šis pozitīvais, kurā viņam bija metā, jeb mīlošā labestība, atteikšanās un tamlīdzīgi, un otrs, kurā bija šī augšana un maņu vēlmes un tam līdzīgi.
And so what he does then, once he has divided the thinking in this way, then whenever an unwholesome thought, sensual desire, ill will arises, this is how he thinks.
Un tad viņi bija ienalīs visas domas šajās divās kategorijās, un katru reizi, kad parādījies kāda doma no šīs negatīvās kategorijas, piemēram, kāda maņa vēlme vai nelāks nodoms, tas ir tas, ko viņš darīja, domāja.
So he thinks, this thought of sensual desire or ill will or whatever has arisen in me.
Šī doma, maņa vēlme vai ļaunas nodoms, man ir parādījies.
This leads to my own suffering here.
Tas novad pie manas pašas ciešanām.
To others' suffering here.
Pie citu ciešanām.
To the suffering of both.
Un pie abu ciešanām.
It obstructs wisdom here.
Tas aizkavē mudrību.
Causes difficulties.
Rada grūtības.
And it leads away from Nibbana.
Un ved prom no Nibbānas.
When I considered in this way, then that thought subsided in me.
Kad es biju pārdomājis šajā veidā, šīs domas atkāpās.
So when a thought of sensual desire arose in me, I abandoned it, removed it, and did away with it.
Un kad manu vēlmes doma manī parādījās, es to atmetu, tā izzuda un vairs netraucēja.
So this is the reflection. This is basically the thing that motivates you to overcome these things, is to understand that they actually lead to suffering. This is essentially what it's about.
Tātad te mēs redzam šo pārdomu procesu, kā tā rezultātā mēs saprotam, kas ir tas, kas liek mums nonākt pie ciešanām.
So how does anger, for example, take ill will, how does anger lead to suffering? That's probably the easiest one to understand.
Un varam ņemt par piemēru dusmas, kā tās noved mūs pie ciešanām, tas ir iespējams pat vienkārši piemērs.
And I think it's quite easy to understand that. It's quite easy if you look at all the problems in the world, most of the violence, most of the things that happen, a lot of that, a large proportion of that comes from ill will, anger, negativity.
Un to ir viegli redzēt arī tāpēc, ka faktiski gandrīz viss lielākās nelaimes un postas pasaulē un kāri nāk no tieši šīm dusmām, šī konfliktējušā prāta.
And I'm sure we have almost everybody, almost every person in existence has sometimes done things that we don't really want to do as a result of anger.
Un es domāju, ka ikviens kaut reiz dzīvē darīs kaut ko tādu dusmu ietekmē, ko viņš īsti nav vēlējies vai vēlāk ir nožēlojis.
And it's like with many things in life, unless you actually keep it in check, unless you do something with it, it can also get out of control, right? It can increase, it can get worse.
Un ja mēs to nekontrolējam, tas var iziet ārpus mūsu kontrolas un palielināties un kļūt nevadāms.
So this is the problem with anger. Anger, one of the things, you know, sometimes people think that, oh, you know, I wouldn't do anything bad against someone else out of anger. But the point is, I think every one of us, we have that potential inside of us to do bad things because of defilements.
Un varbūt mums sanāca šis, ka es nekad dosmu ietekmē neizdarīšu kaut ko tik lielu, ka es sevišķi to nožēlošu, bet tā problēma ir tā, ka mūsos ik vienos ir šis dosmu potenciāls, un kamēr tas ir, mēs neesam pasargāti no negatīviem sekām.
It's easy to judge others and think that others have to, you know, do bad things, but essentially I think all of us have that possibility of doing things that actually are you know, are really bad towards others.
Un ir viegli tiesāt citus, ka lūk citi izrīkojas tā, kā mēs nekad nedarīt, bet mums pašiem var gadīties, ka mēs varam nodarīt slikti citiem.
And when you recognize that potential, when you are really honest with yourself, and it's important to be honest about these things, right? You can't really pretend these things away. But when we are honest about these things, we see things as they actually are, then you also get a very powerful motive to getting rid of these things, which causes all these problems.
Un mums ir jābūt ļoti godīgiem pret sevi un jāspēj skaidrs saskatīt, kas mūsos slēpjas, jo citādā gadījumā mēs varam sevi mānīt un mums ir jāspēj saskatīt savu motīvu.
And of course, if you then take into account the Buddhist idea of rebirth and karma as well, which was mentioned in the previous sutta, then it becomes even more powerful, right? If you get carried away in this life, maybe you get the wrong influence, the wrong conditioning on you, suddenly you're heading in the wrong direction. And suddenly when you're heading in the wrong direction, you do all kinds of, you know, stupid things that you would never thought you would have done. And then you end up in a very bad way in a future life.
Un jo sevišķi to spētīgāk pandara pārdomas par pārdzimšanu un kamu, kas tika apspriests minēt vienā no iepriekšējām sutām. Un te mēs redzam, ja mēs šīs dzīves laikā nokļūstam kaut kādu sliktu ietekmi, jo varā tas var likt mums darīt muļķīgas mietas, kur dēļ mums var nākties ciest tagad un vēl.
So the only way really, in the end, the only way to overcome these things, to make sure that we don't actually, you know, do the wrong thing, the only way is to make sure that we develop the opposite. We develop as much kindness, compassion, metta as possible, and reduce these defilements to the maximum.
Un vienīgais veids, kā mēs varam būt droši, ka tas ar mums nenotiks, ir, ja mēs attīstam pilnīgi šos te pretpols, proti pilnīgu līdzjūtību, pilnīgu labvēlību un mīlestību un tā tālāk.
So, for your own sake, and also for the sake of other people, these things, as it says here, both for, one's own affliction, for one's own sake, and for the sake of others, and for the sake of both, we need to abandon these things.
Un tad, kā bija teikt šajā sotā, ko es nolasīju, tad paša dēļ, citu dēļ, un abu pušu dēļ ir nepieciešams atbrīvoties no šī negatīvā.
And then it says here that it obstructs wisdom, and the Pali for this is panya nirodhika.
Un te tika teikt arī, ka tas tā kā aizpavīvaro liek čēršus gudrībai.
And panya nirodhika literally means it makes wisdom cease. That's actually what it means.
Un burtiskā frāze nozīmē, ka gudrība samazinās vai pat izsīkst.
So would you like to be wiser or would you like to be stupid?
Vai mēs tā kā gribētu būt gudri vai muļķi?
And it's nice. Wisdom is a very beautiful thing, right? A wise person. What is a wise person? A wise person is somebody you can go to. You can maybe ask them a question. They can help you solve a problem, usually in a very deep way. They were able to see through things. And they will see through the superficial of things and see the deep causes of the problems. So that's what a wise wisdom actually is all about. Wisdom is something very profound. And I think that, certainly for myself, one of the reasons why I like the Buddha's teaching so much is precisely because it is about this idea of wisdom, being able to solve profound, deep problems, being able to move away from suffering and towards happiness and contentment.
Un ko nozīmē būt gudram? Tas nozīmē, ka cilvēks, kas ir sasniedzis un izkopis gudrību, viņš pie viņa iespējams aiziet un uzdot jautājumus, un šis cilvēks spēja ar savas gudrības palīdzību to satrisināt. Viņš spēja redzēt šiem virsējiem nenozīmīgiem slāņiem un nonāk līdz problēmas saknei un gudrības tādējādī šeit ir, saprotam, tās dziļākajā veidā un jāsaka arī manā pašā gadījumā tieši gudrības aspekts budismā ir tas, kas mani piesaista, jo ar šīs minētās gudrības palīdzību ir iespējams atrisināt ciešanu jautājumu un pietuvoties vairāk priekam un lielākai laimē.
So for me, if something destroys wisdom, it's very bad news. It's a very good reason to get rid of it.
Un ja es padzirdu ziņas, ka kaut kas spēj iznīcināt gudrību, tad šis kaut kas ir tas, kas ir jāiznīcina vispirms.
This is one of the things the Buddha, when he talks about defilements like desire and anger, he says they are like perversions or inversions of the mind that turn the mind like upside down. You see the mind, you see the world in an inverted way.
Un tas veids, kā Buddha runā par piesārņojumiem, to alkām un dosnām un tamlīdzīgi, ka tie faktiski ir tie, kas apvērš prātu ar kājām gaisā.
It is when you're angry, that's when you do things that you regret afterwards. You never do those things when you're peaceful, right? Anger makes you do things that you regret afterwards. Same thing with desire. If you have desire for something, very often you might do something that you regret afterwards. You know, you get a strong desire, you get very attracted to somebody, even though you are married or you are in a relationship. And then you do something afterwards, you have an affair or something, and afterwards you feel really bad about it. But at the time, when the desire was there, it seemed right. The inversion of perception.
Un tātad mēs iespējams zinām to arī paši no savas pieredzes, vai varam to skaidri sardzēt vispār, ka dusmām un vēlmēm ir tendence apvērst to mūsu prāta skaidro dabu, un nereti mēs varam nožēlot, ja to, ko mēs esam paveikuši spēcīgu dusmu ietekmē vai spēcīgu vēlmu ietekmē, piemēram, ja mēs esam bijuši, ja mēs esam laulāti un mums ir kāds sakars ārpus šīs laulības, mēs pēc tam tikai varam saprast, ko esam izdarījuši un pēc tam to nožēlot, kaut arī vēlmes parādīšanās brīdī mums viss šķiet vislabākajā kārtībā un pareizi.
So that is how it, you know, how it destroys the wisdom. And one of the interesting things, somebody asked me something today, like a personal question about how to deal with a particular situation. And one of the things to always remember, if you need to deal with something, if you need to make a decision in life, whether you should do A or you should do B, one of the kind of important ground rules for making decisions is to always wait till you feel peaceful. Don't make decisions when you're angry. Don't make decisions when you are confused. Don't make decisions when you have some kind of strong desire. Because all those things are going to distort the outlook. Wait till you feel peaceful. Wait till the mind is clear. When the mind is clear and you feel peaceful, that is the right time to make decisions.
Un te mēs varam saprast, kādā veidā modrīgi nervos. Un šodien man tika uzdots jautājums par to, kā pieņemt pareizu lēmumu. Un tad, kad mums ir šāda izšķiršanās, vienmēr vajadzētu šo izšķirošo svarīgo lēmumu veikt tajā brīdī, kad mūsu prāts ir mierīgs un skaidrs un noteikti vajadzētu atturēties no lēmumu pieņemšanas, ja mēs esam dusmīgi, ja mūsos ir kaut kāda neskaidrība, apjukums, vai arī spēcīgas vēlmes, jo šo trīs dusmu atjukuma vēlmi iespējā mēs realitāti redzam izkropļotā neskaidrā, neatbilstošā veidā.
So that is the making the wisdom seed. The next one here is it says it causes difficulties. And the Pali here basically means that these defilements, it's almost like they are painful. They are, you know, if you have the choice between having a defilement in the mind and being free of that defilement, just the difference in how it feels for you personally is actually very large. The peaceful mind is a much more beautiful state than a mind with defilements.
Un tad tālāk tā minēts, ka šie prāta piesārņojumi rada grūtības, un faktiski te ir tā norāda, ka prāta piesārņojumi rada sāpes, jo kad mums šo piesārņojumu nav, mēs esam dabīgi daudz patīkamākā stāvoklī.
And the last part here is that it leads away from Nibbāna. So you can imagine Nibbāna basically is, if you imagine the qualities of Nibbāna, Nibbāna is like peace, right? Nibbāna is a sense of freedom from problems, freedom from suffering. Nibbāna is a sense of feeling cool, feeling at ease. It's basically a very positive feeling. That's what Nibbāna is. So when these defilements are there, you're moving away from all these qualities that you're really searching for.
Un tāpat ir minēts arī, ka šie prāta piesārņojumi ved prom no Nibbānas, un kāpēc tas ir jāņem vērā, tāpēc, ka faktiski Nibbāna ir tas prāta stāvoklis, kurā mēs esam pilnīgā mierā, kurš šis prāta stāvoklis tiek apzīmēts arī kā vēsums pēc saules svēlmes, kas ir tik ļoti patīkams, kad mēs esam izslāpuši pēc šādu remdinošu mēsumu.
So these are the kind of reflections that give you the motivation. You remind yourself of why these things are bad and why they don't work. And if you think across many lifetimes, you think that in a future lifetime, you may not come across good friends, right? You may not come across a good influence. You may be influenced by bad things. And this is one of the problems with the Buddha's teaching, because according to Buddhism, there is no self inside. There is no kind of entity which guides you in a direction. You're always just this moving thing. You're like this ship on the ocean, which moves according to the wind. Not according to its own steering, that's like a self, but just according to the wind. So where you're going depends on the conditions around you, depends on the circumstances. And that's quite scary in a way, right? There's nothing guiding you. So because of that, there's always a sense of urgency. Now the opportunity is there. The opportunity may get lost again. And when you think like that, then you get the sense of now is the time to act.
Un kad mēs pārdomājam šādā veidā, tas mūsos var radīt šādu steidzamības, ja ārkārt stāvokli, sajūt, ka ir nepieciešams kaut ko darīt jau šobrīd, jo sevišķi, ja mēs ņemam vērā to, ko Mūdis saka par kamu un pārdzimšanu, jo faktiski Mūdis arī runā par šo esmēsamību, tātad tas nozīmē, ka mēs tiekam pielīdzināti tādam kā kuģim, kas okeānā vienkārši dreifē dažādu vēju un straumu ietekmē. Man šie vēju un straumas mūsu dzīvē ir vienkārši tie apstākļi, kuros mēs nonākam. Un var gadīties tā, ka mums nav vienmēr apkārt labi, tikumīgi, garīgie draugi, kas var mums ievirzīt pareizās sliedēs, tāpēc ir nepieciešams izmantot to situāciju, kurā mums ir šādas labvēlīgas ietekmes, lai mēs varētu būt droši, ka mēs virzāmies pareizā virzienā.
So these kind of reflections, you know, when you do them again and again, and you think about them from different angles, you read what the Buddha said about these things, and after a while it starts to sink in. After a while you start to look at the world in a new way, and that is when the motivation to do something becomes stronger.
Un tāpēc ir nepieciešams šis pārdomu process, lai mēs atkal un atkal lietas pārdomājam, un kad mēs esam to darījuši, tad mūsos rodas lielāka skaidrība, spēcīgāka apņēmība.
Like everything in life, it takes a lot of persistence and perseverance, and only then does it really bear results.
Un kā visu dzīvē, tas prasa, es noteikti lielu uzņēmību un darbu, un tad tas nes rezultāts.
Okay, so that is the motivation for you. So that is how you get motivated. You understand the suffering, the problems with these things. And once you have the motivation clear, let's look a bit more about how to actually overcome these things. What are some of the methods, some of the ways to deal with these things?
Un tas attiecās uz šīm pārdomām par to, kā mēs varam atbrīvoties un tik vaļā no šīm tiešanām un savām problēmām. Un tad mēs palūkosimies uz to, kādas ir specifiskāk metodas.
Okay, so the next sutta is the one about removing resentment. It comes after the one we just saw before. Yeah.
Un tālāk pāršķirot lapusi, vai blakus lapusē, mēs redzam sutta kā novērst aizvainojumu.
So, removing resentment. So, I'll read out. This is actually a sutta spoken by Venerable Sariputta. Venerable Sariputta was like the right-hand monk of the Buddha, and he was often considered the wisest person in the Sangha after the Buddha himself.
Un šo sutu teica Gaudāmais Sariputta, un viņš bija faktiski Budas labā roka un tika uzskatīts par gudrāko aiz paša Budas.
Okay, so this is how it goes. So then, or rather there, the Venerable Sariputta addressed the monks. Friends, monks. Friend, those monks replied, and the Venerable Sariputta said this.
Gudājumais Sariputta uzrunāja mūkus. Draugi, mūki, draugs, mūki atbildēja. Gudājumais Sariputta teica.
Okay, friends, there are these five ways of removing resentment. by which a bhikkhu should entirely remove resentment when it has arisen towards anyone. What five? Here a person's bodily behavior is impure, but his verbal behavior is pure. One should remove resentment towards such a person. Two, a person's verbal behavior is impure, but his bodily behavior is pure. One should also remove resentment towards such a person. Three, a person's bodily behavior and verbal behavior are impure, but from time to time he gains an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind. One should also remove resentment towards such a person. Four, a person's bodily behavior and verbal behavior are impure, and he does not gain an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind from time to time. One should also remove resentment towards such a person. Five, a person's bodily behavior and verbal behavior are pure, and from time to time he gains an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind. One should also remove resentment towards such a person.
Draugi, ir pieci veidi, kā novērst aizvainojumu, ar kuru palīdzību mūkam pilnībā jānovērš radušais aizvainojums pret jebkuru. Kādi pieci? Pirmais, cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni ir piesārņota, bet viņa uzvedība caur runu ir tīra, ir jānovērš aizvainojums par tām cilvēku. Otrais, cilvēku uzvedība caur runu ir piesārņota, bet viņa uzvedība caur ķermeni ir tīra, ir jānovērš aizvainojums arī pret tām cilvēku. Trešais, cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni un runa ir piesārņota, bet laiku pa laikam viņš sasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, ir jānovērš aizvainojums arī pret tādu cilvēku. Ceturtais. Cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni un caur runa ir piesārņota, un viņš pat laiku pa laikam nesasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, ir jānovērš aizvainojums arī pret tādu cilvēku. Piektais. Cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni un caur runa ir tīra, un laiku pa laikam viņš sasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, ir jānovērš aizvainojums arī pret tādu cilvēku.
Okay, so the idea here is that you have five types of people, and the idea is that these five types of people, they include everyone, right? You have from the person who has no good qualities, all the way to the person who has all good qualities, and everyone in between is also included here. So this is basically a method whereby you can remove anger, or as it says here, resentment towards anybody. That's the idea.
Un te faktiski parādās cilvēku iedalījums piecās kategorijās no cilvēku, kas ir pilnīgi tīrs, prātā runā jau kādu veidrīcībā, un līdz cilvēkam, kas ir pilnīgi tātad, piesārņots visa veida rīcībā un runā, un tātad ir jānovērš aizvainojums vai dusmas pret visām galējībām un arī visām iespējām pavīt.
Okay, so let's have a look at the first person. Yes, the first person, this is how you think in regard to the first person. And how, friends, should resentment be removed toward the person whose bodily behavior is impure, but whose verbal behavior is whose bodily behavior is impure and whose verbal behavior is pure. Suppose a rag-robed monk sees a rag by the roadside. He would press it down with his left foot, spread it out with his right foot, tear off an intact section, and take it away with him. So too, when a person's bodily behavior is impure, but his verbal behavior is pure, on that occasion, one should not attend to the impurity of his bodily behavior, but should instead attend to the purity of his verbal behavior. In this way, resentment toward that person should be removed.
Un tad par pirmā veida personu. Kā, draugi, jānovērš aizvainojums pret cilvēku, kur uzvedība caur ķermeni ir piesārņota, bet kur uzvedība caur runu ir tīra? Iedomāsimies, ka skrandās ietērts mūks, redz lupatu ceļa malā. Viņš to piespiest pie zemes ar savu kreiso kāju. Viņš to var piespiest pie zemes ar savu kreiso kāju, noklēst lupatu daļu, kas ir nebojāta, un paņem to sev līdzi. Tāpat arī gadījumā, ja cilvēku uzvedība savu ķermeni ir piesārņota, bet viņa uzvedība caur runu ir tīra, nav jāpievērš uzmanība viņa ķermeņa uzvedības piesārņotībai, bet tā vietā jāpievērš uzmanība viņa runas tīrībai. Tādā veidā jānovērš aizvainojums pret šo cilvēku.
So the idea here is that people are usually very complicated, right? People have different sides to them. People will have good aspects, they will have bad aspects. And this is what you find many, very quite frequently with many different people. So because people have different sides to them, you can actually choose to focus on certain aspects. And when you focus on the right aspect, then you abandon any negativity you may have because of the negative aspects.
Un tad tā doma ir tā, ka cilvēki ir visnotaļ komplicētas sarežģītas būtnes, un mums ir jāizvēlas pievērst savu uzmanību nevis šīm nepatīkamajām daļām vai aspektiem, bet jāfokusējās uz to, kas viņai ir pozitīvs.
And it's not that difficult to do, because, you know, as if you want to practice in a nice way, if you want to do what is good to other people, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? So because you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, it's actually not that difficult to see the good sides and then just allow the bad sides to kind of disappear.
Un, kad mēs saskaramies ar kādu cilvēku un neesam viņu pietiekoši iepazinuši, mēs varam pieļaut iespējamību, ka tas, ko mēs redzam konkrētajā brīdī, ir tikai tāds izņēmums. Un tādējādi mēs ļaujam viņam kļūdīties, dodam viņam šo iespēju un pieņemam, ka citas viņa personības daļas ir daudz labākas.
And this, in a sense, becomes the foundation for the practice of metta and loving-kindness. Because loving-kindness is just that. Loving-kindness is the ability to see the good in someone else. And when you focus on that good aspect in somebody else, that's when a sense of kindness and metta and love is possible.
Un faktiski tas ir arī pamats, uz kā darbojas mīlošā labestība, ir metas prakse. Proti, mēs atpazīstam un pamanām šo labvēlību otrā cilvēkā, to daļu, kas viņā ir pozitīva.
So it is a very, very useful thing, and I think it is something anyone can do. It just needs, again, all of these things, they need practice, right? It's not easy straight away, but by reflecting, if there is a person in your life who you find is very difficult to have, who you have problems with or whatever, but if you, as soon as you can start to see something good in that person, that is where you're able to start to change your perception.
Un te mums ir jāsaprot, ka tas nav kaut kas, kas notiks uzreiz, tas notiks pakāpeniski, ka mēs varēsim spēt mainīt savu uztveri laika gaitā treniņa rezultātā.
Whenever the negative aspect of that person comes up in your mind, you remind yourself straight away, wait a minute, there is something good here, why am I focusing on the bad?
Un katru reizi, kad mūsos uzaust nepatīkamais uztverē par cilvēku, tad mēs varam teikt, ir taču viņā arī kaut kas pozitīvs, labāk fokusēties uz to.
Okay, so that's the first person. You can see the nice simile there of the rag-robed bhikkhu. A rag robe is like one of these robes, but it's made out of like cloth which is found, you know, thrown away. Cloth which often is found on a corpse, for example, or cloth which is just thrown away in the forest. And you take all this cloth together and you sew a robe. That's basically what a rag robe is.
Un te mēs redzam, ka runa ir par skrandās ietērtu mūku. Faktiski tas ir ļoti līdzīgs šimdēvs. Šim tikai mūks tajā gadījumā savu apģērbu saliet kopā no gabaliem, ko viņš atroda kukurmētājumies vai gabalu, kas piedar no jau nevienā nepieskatītam un pamestam līķim. Un tad viņš vienkārši paņem šo veselo, neatraipīto, izmantojamo apģērba daļu un tad iekļauj to savā rānā.
So you take this rag and you pull off all the bad things and you keep the good part.
Un respektīvi viņš šo skrandaino audoma gabalu izmanto tā, ka viņš neskār to labo audoma daļu paņem un lieko nederīgo atstāju.
Okay, so that's the first person. So let's have a look at the second person here. And how, friends, should resentment be removed toward the person whose verbal behavior is impure, but whose bodily behavior is pure? Suppose there is a pond covered with algae and water plants. A man might arrive afflicted and oppressed by the heat, weary, thirsty and parched. He would plunge into the pond, sweep away the algae and water plants with his hands and drink from his cupped hands, and then leave. So too, when a person's verbal behavior is impure, but his bodily behavior is pure, on that occasion one should not attend to the impurity of his verbal behavior, but should instead attend to the purity of his bodily behavior. In this way, resentment toward that person should be removed.
Un tad par otrā lieta personu, kā draugi jānovērš aizvainojums pret cilvēku, kura uzvedība caur runu ir piesārņota, bet kura uzvedība caur ķermeni ir tīra. Iedomāsimies dīķi, kas noklāts ar aļģiem un ūdens augiem. Kāds cilvēks ierastos, novācīts un nomākts karstumā, noguris, izslāpis, rauds, valnēts, viņš mestos dīķī ar savām rokām aizvirzīt prom aļģis un ūdens augus, padzertos no saules un tad dotos prom. Tāpat arī gadījumā, ja cilvēku uzvedība caur runu ir piesārņota, bet viņa uzvedība caur ķermeni ir tīra, nav jāpievērš uzmanība viņa runas piesārņotībai, bet tā vietā jāpievērš uzmanība viņa ķermeņa uzvedības tīrībai. Tādā brīdā jānovērš aizvainojums pret to cilvēku.
So the same principle as before, right? It is a different aspect of the person, and we can see here how a man arrives afflicted and oppressed, right? If you are angry with somebody, it's like you have an affliction. It's like being ill in a sense when you're angry. So you are afflicted. And because of that anger, what you do, you sweep away all the negative things. And then you dive in and you cool yourself down by focusing on the good things in that person.
Un tā ir līdzība ar personu, kas ir nomocīta un nomāk karstumā, un tad es tiešākā līdzība droši vien varētu būt ar dusmām vai skumjām vai citām līdzību veidām emocijām pret kādu cilvēku. Un tad, kas ir jādara, vienkārši jāizslauk šīs emocijas prom un jāspēj saskatītas cidrais veldzējošais otrā cilvēkā.
Okay, so then we have the third person. And how, friends, should resentment be removed toward the person whose bodily behavior and verbal behavior are impure, but who from time to time gains an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind? Suppose there is a little water in the puddle, then a person might arrive afflicted and oppressed by the heat, weary, thirsty, and parched. He would think, this little bit of water is in the puddle. If I try to drink from it with my cupped hands or a vessel, I will stir it up, disturb it, and make it undrinkable. Let me get down on all fours, suck it up like a cow, and then depart. He then gets down on all fours, sucks it up like a cow, and departs. So too, when a person's bodily and verbal behavior are impure, but from time to time he gains an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind, on that occasion one should not attend to the impurity of the bodily and verbal behavior, but should instead attend to the opening of the mind, the placidity of the mind that he gains from time to time. In this way, resentment towards that person should be removed.
Kā draugi jānovērš aizvainojums pret cilvēku, kur uzvedība caur ķermeni un uzvedība caur runu ir piesārņota, bet kurš laiku pa laikam sasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu. Iedomāsimies, ka peļķē ir nedaudz ūdens. Kāds cilvēks ierastos nomocīts un nomākts karstumā, noguris, izslāpis, saules kvaldēts. Viņš nodomāt, šajā peļķē ir tik maz ūdens. Ja es mēģināšu to dzert ar savām plaukstām vai no trauka, es to sadoķošu un padarīšu nedaram. Es ļaušu sev nomesties uz ceļiem un balstīties uz rokām, uzsūkt to ūdeni kā govs un aiziet. Tad viņš nomet ceļos un atbalstās uz rokām, uzsūkt ūdeni kā govs un aiziet. Tāpat arī gadījumā, ja cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni un caur runu ir piesārņota, bet laiku pa laikam viņš atņems prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, Nav jāpievērš uzmanība viņa ķermeņa uzvedībai un runas piesārņotībai, bet tā vietā jāpievērš uzmanība prāta atvērtībai, prāta rāvumam, kuru viņš ir sasniedz laiku pa laikam. Tādā veidā jānovērš aizvainojums pret šo cilvēku.
It's quite nice, isn't it? It's the ability to see even if somebody has only a very small amount of good qualities. You focus in on that and you allow that to kind of guide your state of mind, guide how you look at that person. It's a very, very beautiful thing, a beautiful way of dealing with other people.
Un tad mēs redzam, ka pat gadījumā, ja tas pozitīvo īpašību slānis vai kopums ir ārkārtīgi niecīgs vai šaurs, mēs tik un tā varam censties to pamanīt un fokusēties uz to šādā gadījumā.
In this case, his outward behavior of this person is not very good, but it says he gains an opening of the mind. An opening of the mind here is like the opposite of having defilements, right? The opposite of the nivarana. Nivarana in Pali is like an obstruction, the five hindrances. An opening of the mind is the opposite. So it's somebody who sometimes gains that clarity, gains that freedom from defilements. That's what is meant here. Placidity of the mind means that peace of the mind that comes when the defilements are not there.
Un te mēs redzam, ka runa ir par cilvēku, kurā uzvedīja savu ķermeni un runa ir piesāņot, bet kurš laiku laikam sasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, tas apzīmē faktiski, ka to, ka laiku pa laikam viņa prātā runas brīvība no prāta šķēršļiem un tas, kur pilst rāms un labi uztarūši.
And you may wonder, how do you know that somebody is, you know, if the external behavior is bad, how can you know that they sometimes have a very peaceful state of mind? And basically the way you know that is, it's like everything else in life. You know that by observing somebody. And when you observe somebody long enough, you know a lot about that person. You know a lot about how their mind works.
Un kā mēs varam saprast, ka cilvēkam, kura prāta un runa ir, pietiekoši piesārņota, ka viņam ka viņa ķermeņas un runa ir piesārņots, ka viņam brīdi pa brīdim parādās kaut kādi prāta brīvības nirkļi. To mēs varam pamanīt tāpat kā jebko dzīvē pietiekoši ilgstoši novērojot un izdarot secinājumus.
So what that means, that sometimes we have to exert ourselves, we have to put forth effort to be able to see the good in other people. But when you put forth that effort, then it is often possible to find something that you can use as a contemplation.
Tas nozīmē, ka mums var nākties pielikt pūles, lai spētu pamanīt otrā kaut ko pozitīvu, bet ja mēs pieliekam savus pūles un darbu, tas arī rezultējas ar panākumiem.
But you have to be very careful, right? Because just like when you drink from a tiny little puddle, you have to be careful you don't stir it up. If you look a little bit to the left, or you look a little bit to the right, you will see all these bad qualities. You have to be able to focus very narrowly on that quality.
Bet mūsu, kā pavisam nelielas teicis gadījumā, mums ir jāspēj ļoti uzmanīgi vērst savu uzmanību konkrētajā virzienā, jo, ja mēs paskatīsimies, atkal nedaudz pa labi vai pa kreisi, mēs ieraudzīsim visu šo nepievilcīgo bildi, un lai nenojauktu šo, mums ir nepieciešams spēt konkrēti saredzēt to pozitīvo.
So all of this, what we have seen so far, is based on metta, the idea of kindness, the idea of seeing the good in other people. This is all based on metta.
Un viss, par ko mēs tikko runājām, faktiski balstās uz metu, uz mīlošo labvēlību.
Now the next one, number four, this is based on compassion instead, on karuna. So this works in a slightly different way here. So it reads as follows.
Un tad ceturtais ir balstīts uz karunu, jeb līdzotību, un tas tad atcerādā nedaudz citādāk.
So how, friends, should resentment be removed towards a person whose bodily and verbal behavior are impure and who does not gain an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind, from time to time? Suppose a sick, afflicted, gravely ill person was traveling along a highway, and the last village behind him and the next village ahead of him were both far away. he would not obtain suitable food and medicine or a qualified attendant. He would not get to meet the leader of the village district. Another man traveling along the highway might see him and arouse sheer compassion, sympathy, and tender concern for him, thinking, "Oh, may this man obtain suitable food, suitable medicine, and a qualified attendant. May he get to meet the leader of the village district. For what reason? So that this man does not encounter calamity and disaster right here." So too, when a person's bodily and verbal behavior are impure, and he does not gain from time to time an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind, on that occasion one should arouse sheer compassion, sympathy, and tender concern for him, thinking, "Oh, may this venerable one abandon bodily misbehavior and develop good bodily behavior. May he abandon verbal misbehavior and develop good verbal behavior. May he abandon mental misbehavior and develop good mental behavior. For what reason? So that with the breakup of the body after death, he will not be reborn in the plane of misery, in the bad destination, in the lower world, in hell. In this way, resentment toward that person should be removed."
Tātad, kā draugi jānovērš aizvainojums pret cilvēku, kur uzvedība caur ķermeni un uzvedība caur runu ir piesārņota, un kurš pat laiku pa laikam nesasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu? Iedomāsimies, ka sasirdis, nomocīts, smagi slims cilvēks iet pa lielu ceļu malu. Iepriekšējais ciems ir tālu aiz viņu, un nākamais ciems ir tālu priekšā. Viņš nevarētu dabūt ēdienu un vajadzīgās zāles vai kvalificētu pavadoni, viņš nevarētu satikt ciema apgabala vadītāju. Kāds cits cilvēks, ejot pa lielu ceļu malu, redz viņu un viņā pamostas līdzjūtību, simpātiju un mainas rūpes, un viņš nodomā, ak, lai šis cilvēks dabū ēdienu, vajadzīgās zāles un kvalificētu pavadoni, lai viņš satiek ciema apgabala vadītāju. Kāda iemesla pēc? Tāpēc, lai šis cilvēks nesastaptos ar postu un lielu nelaimi tieši šeit. Tāpat arī gadījumā, ja cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni un caur runu ir piesārņota, un pat laiku pa laikam viņš nesasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, ir jāatmodina līdzjūtība un mainas rūpes, domājot, lai šis godājumais cilvēks atmet slikt uzvedību caur ķermeni un attīsta labu uzvedību caur ķermeni, lai viņš atmet slikt uzvedību caur runu un attīsta labu uzvedību caur runu. Lai viņš atmet slikt uzvedību caur prātu un attīsta labu uzvedību caur prātu. Kādu iemeslu pēc? Tāpēc, lai pēc ķermeņa sajušanas pēc nāves, viņš nepārdzimtu bērnu sfērā starptā vietā zemā pasaulē, helvē. Tādā veidā jānovērš aizvainojums par to cilvēku.
So this is like the case where it is very hard to see any good qualities in somebody. When somebody is very difficult, we find them very hard to deal with in all ways. Then there's always this last option. And this is to understand that this person has the problem. You don't really have a problem. Okay, you have to deal with them. But they are actually the one who have the real problem. Because they are kind of heading very powerfully in the wrong direction.
Un te ir šī metoda, ko mēs varam izmantot, kad mēs sastopamies ar kādu šķietami ļoti nepatīkamu vai pat bezcerīgu gadījumu. Un te mēs varam saprast, ka tā problēma faktiski nav mūsu pusē. Mēs redzam, ka tam cilvēkam ir nepieciešams pēc iespējas vairāk palīdzēt, un tāpēc mēs varam vēlēt viņam no sirds tikai to labāko.
And this is like one of the important tricks of perception in life. The trick usually when you get upset about something is because you're focusing on yourself, right? You think about yourself, they are behaving wrong towards me. It's all about me, me, me. And when you feel somebody is doing the wrong thing towards you, that's when you get angry. So what you're doing, you're turning the perception around. Instead of thinking about yourself, you're focusing on the other person instead. Actually, okay, I may be suffering a little bit, but they are the one who have the problem. They are the one who are creating tremendous suffering for themselves in the future. And then instead of feeling angry, you can actually give rise to compassion instead.
Un tādējādi mēs redzam, ka visbiežāk mēs sadusmojamies tamdēļ, ka mēs fokus esam vērsuši uz sevi, bet ja mēs spējam paraudzīties ārpus tā mūsu ierastā skatījuma, tad mēs redzam, ka tās tiešanas, ko šis cilvēks ir kā sagādā mums, patiesībā nav tik svarīgas un nav tik lielas, bet ja mēs spējam saredzēt, ko šis cilvēks potenciāli rada pats priekš sevis, kādas tiešanas viņš piedzīvo un ko iespējams piedzīvos turpmāk, tādā veidā mēs dusmu vietā spējam radīt līdzjūtību un līdzjūtību.
It's not so easy to do sometimes because it's natural that we focus on ourselves. We are closest to ourselves. We feel the suffering directly on ourselves, so it's quite natural. But it's very liberating when you can kind of forget about yourself a little bit and instead focus on the other person.
Un tas nav varbūt tik vienkārši, jo mēs esam ikdienā visu laiku pieraduši fokusēties tikai uz sevi, bet tas varbūt ļoti atbrīvojuši, ja mēs spējam paraudzīties ne tikai no savas skatu punktu, bet izskatu ārpus no tā un paraudzīties no plašākas perspektīvas.
And this is how you think about them, right? This is the simile. This is how you think about the other person. It's very beautiful simile. You think of them as somebody who is ill, right? Somebody who is sick, somebody who has a serious problem.
Un šī līdzība piedāvā mums raudzīties tādā gadījumā uz konkrēto cilvēku kā uz kādu, kas ir saslimis un kuram ir nepieciešams saņemt palīdzību.
A person who is ill, they haven't got the medicine. The medicine here would be something like a good spiritual guidance, right? Which can guide them in the right way. They haven't got an attendant. An attendant is like somebody who can help them get over the illness, like a spiritual teacher who can guide them towards a more wholesome way of thinking, right? They haven't got these things. They haven't got anything to support them. They are conditioned in a bad way. They have nothing to condition them in the right way. And because of that, that's why they're heading in the wrong direction.
Un tātad šim cilvēkam nav iespējami nebūt ēdienu vai dzīvās zāles vai kvalificētu pavadoni, un tas vairāk apraksta šo garīgo padomu vai vadību, kas viņam spētu palīdzēt mainīt to virzienu, kurā viņš dodas.
And then you think to yourself, oh, you can almost feel the pain in this person, right? You can see the suffering, yeah? And then the compassion arises. And this compassion then is this, oh, I hope, may this person, may this man obtain suitable food, suitable medicine, a suitable attendant. This is the nature of compassion, this wish that the other person may be relieved of the problem.
Un tad mēs spējam izjust un saprast tās ciešanas, ko piedzīvo šis cilvēks, un tad mūsos rodas nedīgā līdzjūtība, un mēs vēlam, lai viņš saņem ēdienu vai dzīvās zāles un kvalificētu pavadoni.
And it's important to remember here again, this whole idea of, you know, rebirth is very useful to remember here as well. So if you have a feeling for the idea of rebirth and future lives, always remember that, you know, this, if you behavior is really bad, it can have very, very powerful consequences for a very, very long time in the future.
Un tāpēc, ja mēs pārdomājam šo pārdzimšanas tematu un mums rodas pietiekoši dziļa pārliecība par to, tad mēs saprotam, cik ļoti kālējošas nopietnas sekas var būt negatīvai rīcībai.
And if you find that the idea of rebirth is something you have difficulty with and difficulty to relate to, then usually it's enough also to focus on the difficulties that this person encounters in this very life.
Bet, ja pārdzimšanas ideja mums šķiet pārāk tālu, tad mēs varam fokusēties arī uz tām ciešanām, ko cilvēks piedzīvo tikai šajā dzīvē un parasti arī ar tām ir kādā.
So you can see now, we're basically covering all types of people, right? All kinds of people are included in this kind of setup. But it is interesting, nevertheless, that the first three ways of dealing with the people concern metta, and only the fourth way concerns compassion.
Un tad mēs šeit atlūkojam veidus, kā attiekties pret visu veidu cilvēkiem, visiem gadījumiem. Un ir interesanti, ka pirmajos trīs gadījumos mēs izmantojam metu un savukārt tikai ceturtajā līdzjūtību.
And this is exactly the same thing as when you see the Brahma Viharas, you know, the four Brahma Viharas, metta, karuna, mudita and equanimity. When you see those in the suttas, these are like the four sublime abidings or sublime states. Metta always comes first and karuna is always second.
Un tas ir līdzīgi kā šajās četrās brahmavihārās, kas ir metta, karuna, mudita un līdzsvars. Tātad metta vienmēr nāk pirmā un karuna otrā.
So why is it? Why is it that metta comes first and karuna comes afterwards?
Un kāpēc tā? Kāpēc metta nāk vispirms un karuna pēc tam?
And I think there is a very good reason for that. And I think the reason is that karuna, when you focus on compassion, you're also seeing the negative in somebody, right? And you're wishing them well. And when you see the negative in somebody, if you look at that too much, it's easy to get a bit sad or maybe depressed because you see the negative things in life.
Un te tas iemesls ir līdzāk ar tāds, ka tad, kad mēs ar līdzjūtību uz kādu raugāmies, mēs pamanām un izjūtam arī šī cilvēka skumjas un nepatīkamo stāvokli. Un ja mēs uz to fokusējamies pārāk daudz, tas mūs aizvest šajā nepatīkamajā prāta stāvoklī.
So to avoid that danger of falling into negativity, falling into sadness, of seeing the negative things, you actually always try the metta first. Metta should always be tried first, because metta, by its very nature, is something positive, right? You're seeing the beauty in somebody else, you're seeing something nice, so it always makes you feel good inside.
Un tādējā, lai mēs neiegrim šajā negatīvajā uztverē, mums vispirms vienmēr ir jācenšās sākt ar metu, lai spētu saskatīt pozitīvo, labo, vērtīgo dzīvē.
So it's worthwhile taking a bit of time, trying to search for the goodness and focus on that goodness before you eventually move on to the compassion instead.
Un tāpēc ir vērts veltīt laiku vispirms, lai mēs spētu saskatīt pozitīvo un citādā ziņā vērtīgo labo dzīvē, pirms mēs turpinam tālāk ar līdzjūtību.
Okay, so let's have a look at the last verse, this number 5, and it goes as follows. How, friends, should resentment be removed toward the person whose bodily and verbal behavior are pure and who from time to time gains an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind? Suppose there were a pond with clear, sweet and cool waters, with smooth banks, a delightful place shaded by various trees. Then a man might arrive, afflicted and oppressed by the heat, weary, thirsty and parched. Having plunged into the pond, he would bathe, drink, and then after coming out, he would sit or lie down in the shade of a tree right there. So too, when a person's bodily and verbal behavior are pure, and from time to time he gains an opening of the mind, placidity of the mind, on that occasion, one should attend to his pure bodily behavior, to his pure verbal behavior, and to the opening of the mind, the placidity of the mind that he gains from time to time. In this way, resentment toward that person should be removed. Friends, by means of a person who inspired confidence in every way, the mind gains confidence.
Kā draugi jānovērš aizvainojums pret cilvēku, kur uzvedība caur ķermeni un uzvedība caur runu ir tīra, un kurš laiku pa laikam sasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmu. Iedomāsimies dīķi ar skaidru, saldu, vēsu, ūdeni, tīru ar līdzeniem krastiem, apbrošā vietā kopēnā. Tad kāds cilvēks ierastos nomocīts un nomākts karstumā, noguris, izslāpis, saules kvaldēts. Iemirs dīķī, viņš peldētos un dzērt, un tad iznāca sārā viņš sādāt vai apgultos pat kūkēnā. Tāpat arī gadījumā, ja cilvēku uzvedība caur ķermeni un uzvedība caur runu ir tīra, un viņš laiku pa laikam sasniedz prāta atvērtību, prāta rāmumu, ir jāpievērst uzmanību viņa ķermeņa uzvedības tīrībai, runas tīrībai, prāta atvērtībai, rāmumam, kur viņš sasniedz laiku pa laikam. Tādā veidā ir jānovērš aizvainojums pret šo cilvēku. Draugi, izmantojot cilvēku, kurš iedvež uzticību, visā prāts iegūst uzticību.
This is quite interesting, because here you have the person who is almost like perfect, right? Somebody who is very kind, who is very has all these good qualities, who has a good mindset, who has everything is basically right about this person. And still, people get angry at them. Still, people get upset.
Un te faktiski ir runa par tajiem vai ideālu cilvēku, kurš ir laipnas pretimnākoši visādā ziņā labs, bet joprojām cilvēki pamanās kaut kādā veidā uz viņu apvainoties.
So it is important to be aware of that. It's important to be aware of the difference between the other person's qualities and the defilements in one's own mind.
Un tad ir jāspēj saskatīt šī otra cilvēka labās īpašības un piesārņojumu pašu prātā.
It is one of the strange things when you live with somebody for a long time, then after a while, because of you see all the different sides of that person, and because with everybody, we have all have different personalities, so there's always going to be things that we clash a little bit, or we understand the world in a slightly different way. There's always the potential for some sort of conflict is always there, even if the person is absolutely pure.
Un mēs redzam, ka ilgāku laiku dzīvojot ar kādu kopā, parādīsies kaut kādas kaut minimālas nesaskaņas viedokļu nesakritības un tam līdzīgas lietas, un tas tā notiks faktiski jebkurā gadījumā. Un tāpēc ir jāspēj saprast, ka pat ja cilvēks ir pilnīgi tīrs, no mūsu puses pastāvēt kaut kādu prāta aizmiglojumu vai piesārņojumu.
And you see that even in the suttas, there were people, they would go even to the Buddha who is, you know, the kind of the beacon of purity in Buddhism. Even the Buddha would get abused, even the Buddha would be given a hard time, not because he wasn't doing the right thing, but because of other people's impurities.
Un mēs varam suttās redzēt, ka pat pie Buddhas, kas ir tā kā tikumības sauga vai bāka budismā, pie viņa devās cilvēku un tā kā apskaitās uz viņu vai apvainojās, un tas ne jau tāpēc, ka būtu nerīst kaut ko nepareizi, bet ka šo cilvēku pašu prātos pastāv kaut kādas lietas, kas liec viņam uztvert visu skaidru.
So when you recognize that, you know, defilements will always distort our minds, then you can actually be more humble about things. And you can say, okay, maybe the problem actually is me. Maybe I'm distorted in this case. Then you can guide your attention back on the good qualities of this person.
Un ja mēs spējam saprast un apzināties, ka arī mūsu pašu prātos pastāv kaut kādi piesārņojumi, neskaidrības, tad mēs kādā situācijā varam brīvāk pieņemt, ka labi, varbūt problēma ir manā pusē, un tad attiecīgi par to tik ļoti nepārdzīvot.
And the last sentence here, it says that by means of a person who inspires confidence in every way, the mind gains confidence. So really, the idea is that when somebody really has good qualities, you should be able to gain, this is actually where confidence in Buddhism comes from. This is where you see the good qualities of the Buddha, you see the good qualities of the spiritual teacher. And that's actually where you should find confidence. So you have to be very careful in those cases, not to allow yourself to be distracted by just your own defilements, basically.
Un ja mēs varam redzēt teikumā, ka izmantojot cilvēku, kurš iedvež uzticību visā, prāts iegūst pārliecību, uzticību. Un tas ir tas veids, kā mēs gūstam uzticību arī budismā, proti, ja ir kāds izcils piemērs, tas vieš mūsos tādu drošību, kā uz to var paļauties, un tāpēc ir jāuzmanās no tā, lai mūsu pašu prātu piesārņojumi nebūtu tie, kas traucē uztvert.
So, there you are, that is the five ways of removing resentment, and as you can see, this list covers everybody. Everybody is included within this list, and a very powerful technique, I reckon, there for helping you overcome the bad states of mind.
Un tad šī sūta apra visus veidus, kā mēs varam novērst aizvainojumu, ka ir kura veida būtiem cilvēkiem, un tādā ziņā tā ir visnotāk spēcīgi.
Okay, so let's go on to the one more sutta. We have got a little bit of time left, so we can move on to the Next one, which I think is the okay. I'm not very clear on the direction here. Yeah. But, yeah, no, let's, yeah, actually that's the wrong one. Let's go on to the abuse one first of all there, because it's kind of on the same topic. So this is the one which says abuse. So SN72.
Un tad mēs pāriesim pie sutras ar nosaukumu SN7:2. Kas normālā vārdā saucās atvainojums.
Okay. So this is a sutta from the Sanyutta Nikaya, and this is about just what I was talking about before, about somebody being angry with the Buddha.
Un šī ir sutra no Sanyutta Nikājas, un tāpēc gadījumu, ko es minēju, ka kāds atvainojas uz pašu Buddha.
So this is how it goes. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Rajagaha in the bamboo grove, the squirrel sanctuary here. The Brahmin Akosaka Bharadvaja, the abusive, heard, "It is said that the Brahmin of the Bharadvaja clan has gone forth from the household life into homelessness under the ascetic Gotama. Angry and displeased, he approached the Blessed One, abused and reviled him with rude, harsh words."
Reiz svētītais Buda dzīvoja Rajagaha bambusa mirzī Vāveru rezervātā. Brahmīns Akosaka Bharadvaja dzirdēja ļaudis runājumu, ka Bharadvaja klāna Brahmīns, pametot mājas dzīvi, ir kļuvis par bezpajumtnieku pie askaita Gotāras. Dusmīgs un neapmierināts viņš griezās pie svētītā, apvainojot un nomievājot viņa rukiem un skarbiem vārdiem.
The word for harsh here, the word is in Pali is parusa, and parusa is the same word as we had before when we're talking about the four ways of bad speech. One of those bad ways, harsh speech, is exactly the same word you find here.
Un tātad rupjā skarbā runa ir viens no šīs nepiemērotās runas veidiem, par kuriem mēs runājam iepriekš.
It's interesting here, isn't it? This Brahmin, he has heard that one of his relatives has become a monk under the Buddha, and just by hearing that he has become a monk under the Buddha, he makes an assumption that this is bad, so he goes to abuse him on that basis.
Tātad tikāds Brahmins ir padzirdējis, ka viņa radinieks ir kļuvis par Gotamas skolnieku, un viņš automātiski pieņem, ka tas ir kaut kas slikts.
As in India in those days, there was like a little bit of antagonism between the Brahmins on the one hand, the Brahmins were the highest caste, and then you have the Samanas, the ascetics, on the other hand, and often they didn't like each other, and they had problems between each other.
Un jāpaskaidro, ka Indijā šajā laikā pastāvēja savu veidu rīvēšanās starp Brahmīnu kastas pārstāvjiem un Samanām, kas bija kā askēti vientuļnieki, kas noraidīja šo Brahmīnu piedāvāto dzīves kārtību.
And that's why this Brahmin, he assumes straight away when he hears that his relative has become a monk under an ascetic, he assumes straight away that this must be something bad, right?
Un tieši šī iemesla dēļ arī šis Brahmīns pieņem, ka ja viņa radinieks ir pieņēmis patvērumu pie kādu šī klejotāja vientuļnieku, ka tas ir kaut kas slikts.
So what this shows us, it shows us one very, I think a very important lesson. And the lesson is to be very careful making assumptions about things. Be very careful with judging things. It's so hard to know sometimes. In this case, it turns out that this Brahmin, he actually likes the Buddha in the end. And towards the very end, he turns around and he becomes a disciple of the Buddha instead. So it just shows us how careful one has to be making assumptions in life.
Un tāpēc tas parāda, ka mums ir jābūt ļoti uzmanīgiem ar dažādu viedokļu formēšanu, spriedumu, ātru izdarīšanu, jo, kā tālāk mēs redzēsim, šim Brahmīnam faktiski iepatīkas tas, ko Buda māca, un viņš to pieņem, un tādējādi mums nevajag pārsteigties ar savu viedokļu radīšanu.
It's always good to have an open mind, to, you know, think, to understand that there are other ways of looking at things, there are other possibilities, and have an open mind and always give people the benefit of the doubt is always a very powerful thing. Yeah.
Un tāpēc ir ļoti labi, ja mēs spējam paturēt atvērtu prātu, spējam pieiet ar tādu elastīgu pieeju, paskatīties no dažādām iespējām un aspektiem.
Okay, so this is, so what happens next is as follows. When he had finished speaking, the Blessed One said to him, "What do you think, Brahmin? Do your friends and colleagues, kinsmen and relatives, as well as guests, come to visit you? Sometimes they come to visit, Master Gautama. Do you then offer them some food or a meal or a snack? Sometimes I do, Master Gautama. But if they do not accept it from you, then to whom does the food belong? If they do not accept it from me, then the food still belongs to us. So too, Brahmin, we who do not abuse anyone, who do not scold anyone, who do not rail against anyone, refuse to accept from you the abuse and scolding and tirade you let loose at us. It still belongs to you, Brahmin. It still belongs to you."
Tātad, kad viņš bija beidzis runāt, svētītais viņam sacīja: "Kā tu domā, Brahmin, vai tad draugi un kolēģi, rabi un biedrīgie, kā arī viesi, nāk tevi apciemot? Dažreiz viņi nāk mani apciemot, mēs tarp notam. Vai tu viņiem piedāvā ko ēdam, malti vai uzkodis? Dažreiz es to daru, mēs tarp notam. Bet ja viņi no tevis to nepieļem, kam tad piedara ēdienas? Ja viņi no manis to nepieņem, tad ēdiens joprojām pieder mums. Tā arī mēs, Brahmīni, kas neapvaino nevienu, nelamā nevienu, nebar nevienu, atsakāmies pieņemt no tevis to apvainojumu, lamāšanu un tirādi, kurai tu pret mums ļauj vai. Tas vēl joprojām pieder tev, Brahmīni. Tas vēl joprojām pieder tev, Brahmīni."
So what the Buddha is saying here is that if you accept the anger of somebody else and you respond in the same way, that is a bit like you are engaging with that person, right? And you it's like accepting the food that somebody offers you.
Un te, kas tiek teikts, ja mēs pieņemam tās otras dusmas, kas tiek virzītas mūsu virzienā, un iesaistāmies tajā, tas ir tāpat kā gadījumā rēdienu, kas mums ir piedāvāts un pret kuru mums ir brīva izvēle, to ēst vai nepieņemt.
But the Buddha says, "I don't accept it from you, and because I don't accept it from you, you keep the anger." And of course, the meaning of that is that he keeps the anger and he will have to reap the consequences of that anger.
Bet Buddha saka, ka viņš šīs dusmas nepieņem, un tā kā viņš tās nepieņem, tās joprojām paliek šī dusmu radītāja pusē, un tā kā tās paliek pie šī dusmu radītāja, tad arī šis dusmu radītājs būs tas, kas izdzīvos šo dusmu sekas.
There's a nice way of thinking: if somebody gets angry at you, instead of responding with anger, you can think, you know, actually, this person has the problem, not me. Why should I be angry? And then again, you can have a sense of compassion rather than getting angry in return.
Un tālējādi tas ir ļoti jauks piemērs, ko mēs varam izmantot, kad kāds uz mums sāk dusmoties, protā vietā, lai mēs varētu reaģēt pretī ar dusmām. Mēs varam vienkārši paraudzīties, ka cilvēks ir dusmīgs, viņam tobrīd šī dusmas sāda ciešanas, un tā rezultātā mūsos rodas līdzjūtība pret šo viņu nepatīkamu stāvokli.
Or you can think, like the Buddha says elsewhere, that somebody who is angry is also somebody who is considered insane. So if somebody is insane, if they really are mad, then there's not much point in getting angry back.
Un citā vietā tiek minēts, ka Buddha salīdzina kādu, kas dusmojas, ar faktiski tādu nepieskaitāmu, ja traku prāta stāvokli, un dabīgi, ja uz mums tiek vērsta kaut kāda traka nepieskaitāma cilvēka apvainojuma, uz to nav vērts reaģēt.
So these are just ways of helping you to try to overcome anger, right? To avoid reacting to somebody else. These are very useful things. They're very simple, but very useful, because it helps you to keep a sense of balance, not to react, but to be cool, to be peaceful, even if somebody else is not.
Un tās ir ļoti vienkāršas vienas metodes, ko mēs varam izmantot, lai saglabātu līdzsvaru gadījumā, kad kāds uz mums sāk dusmoties.
So then the Buddha says, Brahmin, one who abuses his own abuser, who scolds the one who scolds him, who rails against the one who rails at him, he is said to partake of the meal, to enter upon an exchange. But we do not partake of your meal. We do not enter upon an exchange. It still belongs to you, Brahmin. It still belongs to you.
Brahmin, cilvēks, kas apvaino to, kurš apvainojas viņu, izlamā to, kurš izlamājas viņu, izbār to, kurš izbārs viņu, ir piedalījies maltītē, ir iesaistījies apmaiņā. Bet mēs nepiedalāmies tavā maltītē. Mēs neiesaistāmies apmaiņā. Tas vēl joprojām piedar tev, Brahmin. Tas vēl joprojām pieder tev, Brahmin.
And then the Brahmin responds, the king and his retinue understand the ascetic Gotama to be an arahant, yet Master Gotama still gets angry at him.
Uz ko šis Brahmins atbild? Karals un viņas vīdu uzskata, ka askeits Gotama ir arahants, tomēr meistars Gotama vēl joprojām kļūst dusmīgs.
You see, this is what I was talking about before. The danger is that when you are distorted by anger yourself, when you have defilements, you see something in other people which isn't actually there, right?
Un te ir tās briesmas, par ko es runāju iepriekš, kad mēs paši esam pārņemti ar šiem saviem negatīviem prāta stāvokļiem, mēs uztveram kaut ko, kā patiesībā realitātē nav, respektīvi mūsu piesaņoties prāti izkropļot to realitāti, ko mēs redzam.
So that's why you have to be very careful, because if you're not careful with that, you're going to react maybe in very inappropriate and bad ways.
Un tāpēc mums jāpiesargās, lai mēs nerīkotos veidā, kas nav adekvāts.
So the Buddha then replies them. How can anger arise in one who is angerless, in the tamed one of righteous living, in one liberated by perfect knowledge, in the stable one who abides in peace?
Un uz to būtu atbildi. Kā dusmas var parādīties cilvēkā, kas ir brīvs no dusmām, rāms un dzīvo tikumīgu dzīvi, kas ir atbrīvots savu teicamām zināšanām, stabils un dzīvo mierā?
One who repays an angry man with anger, thereby makes things worse for himself. Not repaying an angry man with anger, one wins a battle hard to win.
Tas, kuri dusmīgam cilvēkam atmaksā dusmām, dara sliktāk savu pašam. Neatmaksājot dusmīgam cilvēkam ar dusmām, tiek uzvarēts cīņā, kurā grūti uzvarēt.
He practices for the welfare of both, his own and the others, when knowing that his foe is angry, he mindfully maintains his peace.
Viņš praktizē abu apkājībai, savai un otra. Zinot, ka viņa ievainieks ir dusmīgs, viņš apzināt saglabā sevī mieru.
When he achieves the cure of both, his own and the others, the people who consider him a fool are unskilled in the Dhamma.
Kad viņš izārstē abus, sevi un otru, ļaudis, kas uzskata viņu par muļķi, ir neprasmīgi Dhammā.
So there you are. That is the Buddha's reply. So you can see that there are some interesting little things in there. He says things like, in the first verse, he says, the stable one who abides in peace. In other words, this Pali word actually means the one who is such. He is in such a way. He is somebody who is unaffected by external circumstances. That's why he is the stable one, the unaffected one.
Un te mēs varam redzēt vairākas interesantas lietas. Pirmajā no atbildes pantiem tiek minēts par šo stabilo, un te ir arī konkrēts vārds, burtiski to, ko varētu nozīmēt tāds, respektīvi tik stabils, ka to nekas neietekmē.
And it says nicely there, it says that not repaying an angry man with anger, one wins a battle hard to win. So in other words, this ability to be able to be cool, to be able to be at peace when somebody else is angry, it is considered something very noble in this world when we can do that. And it's just about reflecting in the right way, right? You reflect, you understand. It's the other person who has the problem. Why should I react in return? You can stay at peace. You can have compassion instead.
Un otrajā atbildes pantā, neatmaksājot dusmīgam cilvēkam ar dusmām, tiek uzvarēts ciņā, kurā grūti uzvarēt. Te ir norāda par to, cik būtiski ir prasme un spēja samabāt vēsu mieru situācijā, kad kūsā ļoti uvanīgas emocijas un saprotot un pārdomājot iepriekš to, pie kā var novest šādas situācijas, mēs radām sevī šo mieru un līdzjūtību pret šo otru pusi, kuru ir pārņēmušas dusmas.
And very powerful there, it says that when you do this, then you are actually practicing for the welfare of both. When you are remaining peaceful, when the other is angry, you're actually giving the other person an opportunity to calm down and become peaceful. This is exactly what's happening with this Brahmin in this story here. So you actually, that is the way, if you have compassion for yourself and you have compassion for the other, that is how you practice for the welfare of both.
Un te ir notaļ spēcīga lieta minēta par praktizēšanu apvalkvai savai un otra. Un ja mums ir kāds spēcīgs prāts stāvoklis, tad mēs varam ar savu līdzjūtību nesadasmoties paši. Un tādā veidā ļoti līdzjūtīgi ļaut arī otrai pusei nepiedzīvot tās negatīvās sekas, kas varētu tikt radītas.
And then when you achieve the cure of both, if you are angry, you are considered like you are ill, right? So being freed from anger is like a cure. You're cured from illness. And then when you do that, that is when you achieve the goal. And people who don't understand that, those they are considered fools according to the practice or the understanding of the Dhamma.
Un tātad, tā kā dusmas faktiski ir tā slimība, tas, ka tiek izārstēti abi, gan pats, gan otrs, tā ir ļoti liela māka un darbība, un tie, kas nespēja saskatīt to, kas šajā procesā notiek faktiski nav prasmīgi dammā.
And then you have the ending of the sutta, it says, when this was said, the Brahmin Akosa Bharadvaja said to the Blessed One, magnificent Master Gautama, magnificent, I go for refuge to Master Gautama, to the Dhamma and to the Bhikkhu Sangha. May I receive the going forth under Master Gautama, may I receive the higher ordination. Then the Brahmin Bharadvaja of the Bharadvaja clan received the going forth under the Blessed One. He received the higher ordination. And soon, not long after his higher ordination, dwelling alone, etc., etc., the venerable Bharadvaja became one of the arahants.
Un tad sūta noslēdus šādā veidā, ka tas bija pateikts Brahmins, Akosa, ka Bharadvaja sacīja svētītajam, lieliski meistar Gotam. Es pieņemu patvērumu pie meistara Gotamas, pie Damas un pie mūku sangas, vai es varētu kļūt par mūku pie meistara Gotamas. Tad Bharadvaja klana Brahmins kļūst par mūku pie svētītā, un drīz, neilgi pēc ordinācijas, dzīvojot viens, godājumies Bharadvaja kļūst par vienu no arahantiem.
So that is what happens when you remain cool. You create arahants in the world. That's quite nice, isn't it? You get more arahants like that.
Un tas ir tas, kas notiek, kad mēs spējam saglabāt mēsu mieru, galva beigās mēs kļūstam par vienu arahantiem.
I should warn you though, it says here, and soon, not long after your nation, usually in the Pali that means maybe 10, 20, 30 years perhaps. So,
Un te ir maz piebildi jābeidz, ka Pali valodā frāze drīz, neilgi pēc, apzīmē laiku periodu, kas ir apmēram 20-30 gadus.
Okay, very good. So, let's call an end there and we'll see you again at 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Un šajā vietā, neksim, pieturzīmi un tiksimies pulkstu 6.